In a world saturated with podcasts, Two Brothers, One Bible stands out as an intriguing addition to the audio landscape.
Ooh, that was good.
What do you think about that?
That's good.
I don't have any idea what that means.
No.
Welcome to Two Brothers, One Bible podcast.
We are so grateful that you joined us today.
And welcome to another episode of Two Brothers, One Bible podcast. I'm Robert Wakefield.
I'm Peter Searson.
And Peter, it's great to see you today. I hope you're doing well.
I am, Robert. Good seeing you.
At this recording, the day that we recorded this is a very special day amongst people who celebrate this kind of thing. Would you like to know what today is?
Tell me, what is today?
It's International Draw a Picture of a Bird Day.
Oh, wow.
Are you an artist?
No, I would not put myself in that category at all.
Really? You can't draw a straight line?
Oh, yeah, those I can do.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the combination of straight lines with the curved lines that give me trouble.
Yeah. So have you ever drawn a picture of a bird?
I have. I've done those little, you know, they look like, you know, a folded out V.
Okay.
Which is bird in flight in sky.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that's all you've done as far as your international draw a picture of a bird.
No beaks, no eyes,
really?
no feathers.
Just the little.
That's it. Yeah. Just a little
boop, boop. Yeah, boop, and that's
it.
Yep. Okay, well, I have to be honest with you. I have not done that.
Okay.
All right. I didn't know there was even such a day.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, you did. And
well,
you shared,
I found that out.
I'll have to draw myself a bird.
All right. We are back with our Mount Rushmore series today. We're going to be talking about Hebrews 11 and verse 1. So who gave us this again?
This was Carolyn.
Carolyn.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, we've been doing this for what?
We started in August.
Eight months.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this really should have been a verse that I thought. It's such a foundational verse. I mean, really, this verse becomes the definition of faith itself.
Right.
And this chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, is just, you know, one of those hallmarks of Scripture. You know, it's kind of like Psalms 23. I mean, there's certain things you should just know, and Hebrews chapter 11 is certain.
Oh, it's the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's absolutely the Hall of Fame of talking about those with great faith.
Yep.
And so it's an incredible chapter. I think we need to do Hebrews.
Oh, I would love to do Hebrews.
I think we should. Yeah. Well, in our future
there
podcast,
you go. Yeah.
We ought to
season just, whatever.
Whatever the season is, right.
Trying to get through season one right now.
Absolutely. But. All right. So we're going to do Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Do you have that in front
of
you?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead and read that.
New International Translation says, "How now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see."
All right. So that is the word of the Lord. And this is a verse that's quoted a lot.
It is.
It's quoted a lot. We hear a lot of time. It is actually a direct definition of faith, wouldn't you say?
You know, I read one commentary that said it lacked the components of a definition. But I would dare say if you said, ask someone, you know, what is faith? They're going to quote this verse.
Right. Exactly.
I do think it has become the definition of faith.
I do too. That was the NIV that you read.
Right.
I thought the American Standard, they wrote it this way. Now, faith is the certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen. I like that.
I do like that.
The Contemporary Standard Bible, is that what the CSB is? Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen.
Mm.
And then the New Living Translation calls it this. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see.
Wow.
So I thought all of those were actually really good.
Yeah.
And some of them, which one of those is your favorite, do you think?
I like them all. And, you know, I think where we struggle in the English is faith, belief, doesn't have the action to it that it does in the Greek.
Right.
And
as well, I know. I know because
you're all about the Greek.
Am I ever?
Yeah. When who shouldn't be? You know. But we believe as Americans in a whole lot of things, and we have faith in things, but it doesn't always move us to action.
Right.
And so that's why I think you have those different English translations. Probably they're stressing the point of that there's an action to it.
Right.
That
exactly.
It's not just a faith of it. Oh yeah, I think that's true. But I'm gonna live my life. I'm going to base everything of who I am upon that belief.
Right. And the thing is, even atheists have faith.
In something.
They say they don't have any faith in anything, but they do have faith in something.
You have to.
Yeah. Faith is a universal, not really a feeling, but a universal trait, I guess, for us humans, you think?
Part of the core of our humanity.
I think so.
We have to have a belief system. You know, people without hope. Is the most hopeless thing you can find. I mean, we have to have hope, and we have to have faith, and we're going to have faith in something, even if it's only in ourselves. You have to have faith,
right? When I was looking at this Hebrews chapter 11, I went back and looked at the verses before it for context, and the writer of Hebrews finished describing why the new covenant was so important, and he talks about in Hebrews 10, 1 through 18, about all this animal sacrifices.
Right.
Is it amazing to you the animal sacrifices that took place? It is to me.
Oh, I know. When you read it, I mean, there's just countless, you know, the dedication of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the list of oxen and sheep and goat, it's just incredible. But the one thing... In seminary, in one of my education classes, it talked about to learn something, the more senses you can use, you learn it better.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so, you know, like reading out loud.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at it and you're hearing it. Can you imagine the sense of smell?
I cannot. I cannot imagine that at all.
Like, we're going to church.
Right. Oh my goodness, I cannot even imagine that at all. But it's amazing to me that, you know, in Hebrews chapter 10 it talks about all of the things that they had to do, how the sacrifice of bulls and rams could not cover the sins, and just they repeated every year.
Right.
They had to go back down there. But he said something interesting there in verse, I think it's verse 39 of chapter 10. He says, talks about not shrinking back.
Yeah.
And I think that's real easy for, especially for these Hebrews that he was writing to shrink back to the things that they knew.
Right.
And we saw that in the early church also.
Absolutely.
And I was going to read 39. Let me find that right quick.
Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, let's see. Here we go. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved.
Yeah.
So I thought that was an interesting, you know, segue from what he was going to say there in what he says in verse 1. That, you know, now faith is the assurance of things we have.
You know, that is the temptation, is to shrink back. We are, you know, so many times we don't want to jump into the unknown because we don't know what it is.
Right.
And so even though we may be struggling in our current circumstances, to leave those circumstances to the unknown is just, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, look, you've got to have faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that faith has got to give you confidence. And that confidence is going to have to propel you into the unknown, because that's what faith is. It's trusting what you cannot see.
And I'm glad you brought up the word trust, because I was going to bring that up.
Okay.
Because I think that you could insert the word trust right where it says faith.
Yeah.
Now, trust is where, you know, the things hoped for, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Because that's basically what faith is in a nutshell.
It is.
Because I cannot imagine, first of all, I can't imagine life without Jesus in my life. I can't imagine that. But I can't imagine the hopelessness I would feel if I didn't trust the things that he said.
Right.
Because God is not a liar. He is not able to lie to us.
Right.
And so I like that trust aspect of faith, and I thought I would bring that as well.
You know, in our humanity, we want our cake and eat it too.
Oh, we do.
We want to walk by sight. You know, we would love it if God slipped a little note under a pillow every night, wake up and we go, here's your instructions for the day.
Oh, yeah.
And we say, oh, great. But he says, look, you've got to trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and part of that is you got to be connected to me. We got to be in relationship.
Right.
And so you abide in me, you follow my lead, and I'm going to tell you what to do as we go.
Right.
And we say, oh, man, I'd really like to have a, you know, a whole life plan, you know.
Right.
I'd like it mapped out by, just go by ahead. The day.
Just go ahead and map it out.
Says, you know, that's not trust. That's not faith.
Right.
And we really, really struggle with that because we don't like that unknown.
We don't. And the thing is, we live in a physical world.
We do.
I mean, we live in a physical world. We have eyesight,
mm-hmm.
to be able to see things that we're going to be able to see. And when you're telling me that, okay, you've got to just trust me and take this, it's not a leap of faith. It's not a blind faith. It's not blind at all. This is actual trusting in the relationship that we just mentioned.
Right.
So I just think that's just an incredible thing. And, you know, it's interesting that Paul, you know, in the 13th chapter of Corinthians, faith, love, and hope, but the greatest of these is love.
Right.
And we've talked about this before, but I just love this point that faith and hope
mm-hmm.
are the two things that we're not going to need when we get to heaven.
That's true. That's true. We don't need those anymore because then our faith does become sight.
Right.
Yeah.
Our faith becomes sight.
But, you know, this verse is fundamental for everyone who comes to Christ. Mm-hmm. You can be, you know, like Josh McDowell or like Lee Strobel, these great people who really just did not want to have Christianity in their life.
Right.
They researched it. They studied. They interviewed people. They did all kinds of things trying to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And there comes a place where you just say, I just got to believe it.
Right.
You either believe it or you don't. And I mean, that whether you're 5 years old or, you know, 105,
right.
That's the reality for everyone. Salvation requires faith.
And so how heartbreaking in it, because I know but you've been a pastor for a long time, how heartbreaking is it for you to talk to someone, to visit with them, to show them the way, and they tell you, you know, I just don't have the faith required.
Yeah, you know, Paul said it well when he said, I wish I could be saved on your behalf. You know, I could do that, I'd be baptized, you know, 100 times over.
Sure.
And it is frustrating, but, you know, we've all had that same internal struggle. Some struggle longer than others. Mm-hmm. Some struggle over different points, but there comes that place where you've just got to say, I'm not going to figure it out.
Right.
I'm just going to be a believer.
Right. So when this definition, as we keep calling it, mm-hmm. Of things hoped for, of things not seen, what are the things that you think that he's talking about of the things hoped for?
Oh, man. You know, I think when faith is saying that I believe God to be who he is,
mm-hmm.
I believe that God is sovereign. I believe that God desires the best for me. I believe that God is going to reveal his nature and his character to me. And I believe that because of what Jesus sacrificially did on the cross, forgives me of my sins and earns me a spot in heaven for eternity.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Because, you know, I don't think this is not a one and done.
Mm-mm.
This is not the entrance exam to get to salvation. This is the banner statement for the Christian life.
It really is.
Because every day we struggle with, are we going to choose faith? Or are we going to choose fear? Are we going to choose to believe? Or are we, as it says in chapter 10, are we going to shrink back?
Right.
And so how courageous, how bold are we going to be in our faith that we really don't have any tangible evidence of what that is?
Right.
But are we going to go forward anyways?
That's a good point. This commentator wrote this, and I thought this was pretty good along those lines. Faith does not contradict reason, though it may go beyond reason.
Mm.
One may objectively prove the Bible is the most unique book ever published and has impacted society more than any other book, but only faith can prove that the Bible is the Word of God. Therefore, this is a belief beyond reason, but not in contradiction to reason.
Hmm.
So I thought that was an interesting statement right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I would just add, you know, God's logic is not our logic.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, that's pretty.
So when it talks about reason, God's reason's different. He processes information. He sees things in a different way than we do. So that's where it's that trusting him comes in,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he can do anything he wants with anything he wants. He can do everything with nothing.
Right.
You know, so, you know, who doesn't want to trust a God like that? But what we'd like is, you know, a little bit of proof.
Right.
You know.
Just a little bit of proof to make, you know.
Yeah.
God talk to me and right. we'll be fine. We right. would love that.
Yeah.
I say we would love that. Would we? Would we love God whispering in our ear every day?
Well, you know, here's the thing that I don't understand, Robert. You know, as a Christian, I've been a Christian a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that the testimony of God's faithfulness would be proof for his future faithfulness.
Right.
Why do I continue to struggle at times?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's already proven how much he loves me and how faithful he is and how he works for the good in my life.
Right.
So why do I continue to struggle?
Yeah, that's a great question.
I think Hebrews 11, chapter 1, or Hebrews 11, verse 1, is an anthem we need to remind ourselves that he is faithful and we need to trust him even when we don't have the proof.
That's perfect. That's a great way to end this session. And I appreciate you ending it in such a profound way. So that's going to wrap this edition of Two Brothers, One Bible up. This is Carolyn's verse. It's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Go and read the entire chapter of Hebrews 11 and see that hall of fame of faith.
It's great.
Because, you know, they were promised something,
yeah,
and they never saw the end result.
No.
Not many of them did. So it's a great study.
It really is.
So thanks so much for listening to the Two Brothers, One Bible podcast. I'm Robert Wakefield.
I'm Peter Searson.
Please listen for future episodes of Two Brothers, One Bible podcast, and please rate and review our podcast.
Do it.
Okay. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We just want to thank everyone for listening to today's podcast. We really do appreciate it. And Peter, we have a special announcement that we would like to make.
That's right, Robert. We want to invite everyone to come to New Song Praise Fest in Columbia, Tennessee on May the 4th. This is an all-day Christian music festival, and we would love for you to come and enjoy the day.
Oh, that's right. And Praise Fest has 5 acts coming this year, including Rhett Walker, and closing the night out will be the former lead singer of Third Day, Mac Powell.
Boy, sounds good. Well, consider this your personal invitation to be with us at New Song Praise Fest on Saturday, May the 4th.
And for tickets and all other information that you may need, visit newsongpraisefest.com.